Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 through 38, we see Jesus Christ in a situation where he is moved with compassion at the sight of the multitudes. And watch what he says. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Today what we want to talk about is laboring in the harvest. That's the subject of our text and our lesson today. Laboring in the harvest. We need to be laboring in the harvest. In order to do this, in order to labor in the harvest God's way, then there are things that we can find in the Bible that we need to be involved in regularly. And those things are found not only in this passage of Scripture, but in other places in the New Testament. And we'll start with what we find here. We need to be involved regularly in praying. He says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. That's what he tells us to do. Pray. So the first thing the Lord told us to do is pray, and the first thing we ought to be doing is praying. You know what I've noticed over the years? I've noticed that the people God uses in the harvest are the people who pray. When I look in our church and I see our people that are here at Wednesday night prayer meeting, that's where the Lord gets his laborers. Years ago, I was involved in a mission church, and in this mission church, men would gather together for prayer on Saturday mornings. You know, just a few of us, a handful, maybe half a dozen. But every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock, we'd be at the church praying. And then once a month on Friday nights, we'd have an all-night prayer meeting. And you know, in that church, in a period of just 8 or 9 months, the Lord blessed the harvest abundantly. And you know what I noticed? Those who were praying are the ones who were harvesting. That's right. As people were ministering to others, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, doing something for the Lord in the harvest, those were the ones that were praying. In other words, praying for the Lord to send forth laborers into his harvest is tantamount to throwing your hat in the ring and saying, I'll have a piece of the action if you'll use me. Because what you're doing is your heart is becoming accustomed to the Lord's heart about the harvest, and your heart is becoming burdened about the harvest and becoming responsive to the Holy Spirit as it concerns what's in that harvest. So the first thing we ought to be involved in is praying. We ought to be involved in that regularly. And to the extent you could get with your spouse, you can get with your family, you can get with members of your church and get praying. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now here's the second thing you need to be involved in. laboring in the harvest, we need to be involved regularly, not only in praying, but also in laboring. He says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. That he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, the next thing that you need to be doing is that you need to be laboring. God doesn't use idle people. You don't get called, you don't get sent if you're not doing anything. Now, I know that in Matthew chapter 20, when there's a parable here, and there's a husbandman, and he's sending people into his, to labor into his vineyard. All right, he shows up at the 11th hour, and when he found others standing idle, and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? And he sent them, okay, into his vineyard. But that's an exception to the rule. When you read in the Bible about the people that God is using, he's using people that are doing things. And when you look at it practically, when you see what goes on in church, when you see what goes on in the body of Christ, the people aren't that lying around wallowing and waiting. They're doing something. They're busy about the work. Solomon tells us, go to the ant, thou sluggard. You see, those guys are working, and they're doing something all the time. So you need to be laboring. God doesn't use idle people. The people who are laboring for the Lord are the ones who get to do more in the harvest. And I've noticed that. I've noticed that in our church here. I've noticed that the people who have been here to help with anything that needs to be done are the ones that the Lord sends into the harvest to work for him. It's an amazing thing. He didn't say, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth people into his harvest. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And those are the people that are up doing something. You say, well, what do I need to be doing? Anything that needs to be done. The church is like the body of Christ. God sets the members in the body as it hath pleased him. Every joint supplies to the every part in the body. You know, we have some young men that have grown up in our church. They are getting older now as teenagers. And years ago, when they were younger, they came to me and they said, what can we do to help? And I said, you know what you ought to do? It would really be a help to us. You ought to straighten out the hymn books in the church after every service so that when people come in here, they find the church ready for the next service. So after the services, they started rearranging hymn books. And then you know what? We'd have work days, and they'd be here for our work days to help with landscaping or to help with building remodeling or to help with painting or whatever needed to be done. They were here. And you know what's happening? I'm watching these young men grow, and I'm seeing God directing their lives in such a way that I firmly believe that they'll be called into the ministry to some capacity, in some degree. Why? They've been involved in laboring for the Lord since they've been young. We need to be involved regularly in praying, regularly involved in laboring. You say, well, straightening up hymn books is not much. No, but it gets you connected to the work. It gives you concern for what people are going to see when they get to the church. It makes you responsible for something. And when a man is faithful in those things that are least, you know what? He's going to be given more, and the Lord is the one that chooses that. So we ought to be involved. We ought to be laboring. Here's something else. In order to be laboring in the harvest, we need to be involved regularly, not only in praying and laboring, we also need to be involved regularly in training. In training. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2. In 2 Timothy 2:2, we find this fabulous verse of Scripture, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, you need to be faithful and you need to learn. That's right. You ought to be you ought to be involved in being faithful. People today get the idea, well, if I go to church once a week or maybe a couple times a month and just put a little money in the plate and make my, you know, my appearance, that'll be enough. And I'm going to tell you something, that's not even close. It's a tragedy that churches have changed this whole thing where they have four or five services on a Sunday and you're just supposed to go to one of those and then meet up with some family in their home, maybe in the midweek, and do some study out of somebody's book that they authored and call that your midweek service. Just make sure you come once in a while and bring plenty of money when you do. That's not faithfulness. It's too bad that churches have gotten rid of the Sunday school. We still have it. And that people have gotten rid of the Sunday night service. We still have it. And that's a different service than Sunday morning. And we still have the Wednesday night service where we teach the Bible and pray as a church. We all pray. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for each other's needs. And I don't say that boastfully. That's the way it's always been done. Well, the point about this is simply you need to be faithful. When your church has Sunday school and Sunday morning and evening services and Wednesday evening services, you need to be there. You say, why? Because in those services, if you pay attention, you'll learn something. Listen, I teach Sunday school to the adults, and then I preach on Sunday morning. I preach on Sunday evening. We've got other men that do those that fill in when I'm not here and often preach while I am here. And I preach a lesson on Wednesday evening. And then I'm on the radio 5 days a week. So that, you know, there's nine times. And listen, if you were a member of this church and you were to get in on all of that, I'm going to tell you something. You would learn a tremendous amount of Bible. And I don't say that because I'm a tremendous Bible teacher. Nine times a week in 52 weeks is going to add up to over 450, what is that, 468 different sermons and lessons you will have heard in that period of time. Let me tell you something, that's going to get a lot of Bible into you. And Paul said, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men. Faithful men, you need to be faithful. You're not getting nearly enough Bible if you're just going once a week. You're not getting trained. You're not learning anything. Not enough at all to sustain yourself. And so you need to be faithful and you need to learn. Who shall be able to teach others also? I've noticed that the people who are eager to learn are the ones who get sent by the Lord because they're equipped. I mean, we have a man out of our church who's currently pastoring another church now. We spent years training him. He went through Bible college and he was involved in, and his wife, they were involved in every aspect of our ministry here. And, you know, it was just really by the Lord's design. He taught children's church, and he taught young children in Sunday school class, and taught an adult Sunday school class, and preached, and learned to preach, and got involved in various kinds of ministries, and got involved in a lot of outreach, and just learned the ministry. And now, you know what he's doing? He is teaching others. Who shall be able to teach others also? He got trained. And, you know, you ought to be involved regularly in training. You ought to be learning to how to teach, learning how to preach, learning how to deal with souls. If you want to labor in the harvest, our people need to be involved in praying, laboring, training. But that's not all. We need to be involved regularly in giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In giving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verses 6 and 7, the Bible says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." One man said, what you're reading in these two verses is the law of the soil and the law of the soul. That is, the law of the soil is that if you want to reap a bountiful harvest, you've got to sow bountifully. And the law of the soul is that if you want to reap, you're going to have to give. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, the people who give the most are the ones who are the most burdened for the lost in the harvest. They're the ones the Lord sends to work in the harvest. Why? Because He knows their love and He knows their commitment to do a good job in the harvest. Why? He knows it by how they have given. Listen, when a person comes to church and he throws a dollar in the plate, he's not concerned for anything except his guilty conscience. He's just trying to put something in there to relieve himself of the burden to have to really be involved in the work. Now, listen, if a dollar is all he has, then that's a totally different story. I'm not making light of somebody who can only give a dollar. But listen, if you're working and you're making $25,000 or $30,000 a year, then you ought to be given a minimum of $2,500 to $3,000 a year. A minimum. I know people who make just barely more than that, and you'd be shocked to know how much they give. And the reason is they are committed to what God's doing in that harvest. And they know that there are people that are out doing something for the Lord on the mission field who need to be supported, and they are putting everything they possibly can toward the work that's being done on the mission field so these guys can win souls and disciple souls and build churches. They're committed. Listen, when people are committed to that level, you know what? The Lord's going to call them. Because He knows, listen, the Lord knows, they don't enter the harvest for what they can get out of it. So many preachers that are in the ministry today are in it as a business. They're in it for getting rich. They're in it for what they can get out of it. It's good for their ego. It's good for their name. It's good for their pocketbook. But when a person is committed and he gives bountifully into the Lord's harvest, you know what? He's not interested in what he can get out of it. He's interested in what he can put into it. That's what he's been doing. And when they get into that harvest, they are careful with other men's souls. They take care of the vineyard. I think it was Bob Jones Sr. that said, listen, when you go into the harvest, it's not how many souls you can harvest. It's the condition in which you leave the vineyard when you're not in it. You don't trample down the harvest in a rush to try to get as many souls on your stringer as you can so you can go back and report to everybody that you led so many people to the Lord. You've trampled the thing down where nobody else can go in there and get effective work done. And I've noticed this. You know, the people who are bountiful in their giving are the ones God calls into His harvest to labor for Him. It's just the way it works. So if you're just throwing in, you know, like I said, just a buck or two or whatever, don't expect God to be sending you into His harvest. You're not even concerned for the harvest. But if your heart is broken for it and you're putting plenty into it, I'll tell you something, God's going to take notice of that, and He's going to use you. All right, we need to be involved regularly in praying. Now, don't you understand, when you're praying for souls, God takes note of that. And laboring, God takes note of that. And training so you can be used, God takes note of that. And giving, God takes note of that. But I'll tell you something else. You need to be involved regularly in sowing. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, the Lord's been dealing with the woman at the well, and then the disciples show up, and she's gone to go tell the men in town about finding the Messiah. And in the meantime, the Lord says this in John chapter 4, verse 35. There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you are entered into their labors. Now notice what he says in verse 37, one soweth. Well, that ought to be what you're doing. Listen, there won't be any reaping if there has not first been sowing. Now sowing, to some degree, is easier than reaping, because in sowing you are simply putting out the word of God any way that you can. And please understand, I said, sowing is to some degree. easier than reaping. You have to understand this work is the work of the Spirit of God in you, and so both of them involve the work of the Spirit of God through you, and you can't really say one is easier than the other because the Spirit of God is the one doing the work through you. But to some degree, it is easier to sow because you are simply being used by the Holy Spirit to deliver the words of God to those who need them. And that work can be done by passing out tracts or passing out scriptures or passing out scripture portions. Psalm 68, verse 11 says, God gave the word, but great was the company of those that published it. This work can be done not only by passing out tracts and scripture portions and things, but it can also be done by witnessing. After, you know, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall be witnesses. See, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth. You can also do this work by preaching. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's sowing. The other day I was driving home and saw some men standing on a street corner, and they were street preaching. I've done lots of it, public ministry, preaching the word of God. What a wonderful thing to see. Now, those who get sent into the harvest are often those who have been sowing faithfully and bountifully. They've just been putting out lots and lots and lots of scripture. Now, I had a friend of mine, and, you know, he was very, very, very faithful to sow the word of God for at least 10 years. He got saved when he was 64 years old. For at least 10 years, maybe been 12, I can't remember how long it was, between the time he got saved and the time that he passed away, he sowed the word of God faithfully nearly every single day. But you know what? He was a sower. But I want to tell you something. He entered into that harvest. He was in there doing something for God all the time. He wasn't really a reaper. He was a sower. And, you know, he did a great job of it. So, listen, you ought to be involved regularly in sowing the Word of God, but that's not all. You ought to be involved in reaping, if you can, if God so calls you, so equips you for this work. He says, one soweth and another reapeth. Reaping in the harvest can be a bit more difficult than sowing. I mean, as I said, you can't do either one without the Lord. Jesus Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. You want to make a mess, go out and try to do this without the Lord, and you'll do nothing. Now, in reaping, you have to check regularly on the seed that has been sown to see if it's ready to harvest. And that's why it becomes a little more difficult, because you're constantly going back to people with whom you're making friendships, to people with whom you've been sowing the seed of the Word of God in an attempt to try to lead them to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to be wise, and you have to be attentive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit so that you don't harvest seed that is not ready to be harvested. Seed that's not ready to be harvested is a soul who's not ready to be saved. There are people who do very, very shallow work, and they'll take a person by the hand, get them to pray with them, and go home and tell everybody, hey, I led another soul to Christ, and you didn't do anything of the kind. What you did is you jumped the gun. And you need to be very careful and very attentive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. There are people you can lead on the first visit to the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'll guarantee you lots of work has been done already up to that point in their souls by the Spirit of God and by sowers who have sown the seed of the Word of God. I mean, you may find when you get to seeing this kind of work in reaping that you really need to water and cultivate instead of reaping. Reaping, by the way, is constant work. You're constantly going back and monitoring that harvest. I mean, just like mowing your grass, if you stay out of the harvest too long, you're going to find that it's gotten away from you. You have to keep at it all the time, all the time. And then I'll tell you something else. We need to be involved regularly. If we're laboring in the harvest, we need to be involved in praying, in laboring, in training, in giving, in sowing, and reaping, and also in this, in discipling, in discipling. In Matthew chapter 28, right before the Lord Jesus Christ left, he told the disciples in verse 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, discipling is the necessary work of teaching new converts the Bible so that they can grow. And I've noticed that as people get more involved in the harvest, they usually become teachers. Why? Because they're discipling individuals, and then from that, God often uses them to teach a class. God uses them to teach a class. They're not roped into this work by men. I know in churches they're just looking for some guy they can put in there and say, hey, you teach. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God raising up a teacher. You're not roped into this work by men. You're set in this duty by the Lord. And what happens is you end up teaching the words of God to help those who come to Christ to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know when I first started teaching, I was teaching a Bible study at the bank when I was still involved in banking, and I was teaching a Bible study at home while I was still involved in banking. And those two little Bible studies gave me the opportunity to teach the people I was leading to the Lord some Bible so they could start to grow. Well, the next thing you know, I'm teaching a class. The next thing you know, I'm teaching another class. Next thing you know, I'm off to Bible school. Next thing you know, here I am talking to you today about discipling your converts. Too many people are out there, they just want to go whack down a soul, say, boy, I led another soul to Jesus Christ, and then give them nothing to grow on. And the next thing you know, they are floundering because they have no Bible. You got to disciple your converts. Now, that's laboring in the harvest. And if we're going to be laboring in the harvest the way God wants us to labor in the harvest, then these are the things we're going to need to be about doing as the Lord leads us and as we surrender to His leadership in our lives. You know, men who are involved in praying, laboring, training, giving, sowing, reaping, and discipling, those are the ones who often end up being called and sent by the Lord into the full-time ministry in some capacity. I pray to God that you will do these things and that God will send you into His harvest. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.